turn off the lights. Christina Novelli. Well, our thoughts have been confirmed, Joy. Sir Patrick Moore, not available. Available possibly 8 o'clock this evening. Too late then, you know. We spoke to him yesterday.
We need to speak to him now.
26 years we've worked with Sir Patrick in various ways. He's now had two moments where he hasn't been able to connect, and they've both been tied in with yourself. Don't feel guilty, Joy. It could actually be
Are you pointing fingers at me?
Not at all. It could be our other restaurateur, Aaron Craig, who I know is very keen to get his messages across to Sir Patrick in a positive sort of way. And again, every time he says, is he on? I thought he was. Now he isn't. But it does give us the opportunity to speak in slightly more detail with Dr. Sarah Barrow, from head of the Lincoln School of Media. We talked about some of your interests, Sarah, and some of the key things that work through that perspective. Latin American cinema, clearly it's a huge topic. But it's one which I suspect a fair number of folk would not necessarily think initially about when they're looking into the cinematic world. I mean, they might think, obviously, the huge Hollywood scene, the European scene, French, they might even think Japanese, Eastern, Eurasian cinema and so on. Was it primarily about the Peruvian scenario that has clearly led to a whole range of things, and obviously the forthcoming images of Peru, violence, identity and national cinema?
Yeah, well, as I said before, it was partly out of this trip to Peru a few years ago that made me realise that, you know, there's this area, this small country that despite everything, the violence, the poverty, all the other things that people have got going on, still making films was something they wanted to do as a way of telling their own stories, articulating ideas, you know, really sort of using the cinematic medium just as everybody else does in all other countries across the world. So it just intrigued me that a small country with no infrastructure, not very much money for anything at all, and especially not for cinema, there were still people who were kind of, it was sort of part of what kind of made them come alive, really. So yes, the Peruvian interest is there, but it's also part of a way of looking at what is it that makes people want to make films? Why is that such an important thing for people to go, well, yeah, I could watch a Hollywood movie, or I could watch a British movie, or European movie, but we want to have our cinema to make our films and to tell our stories. So that was the thing that really intrigued me.
That sense of belonging is so crucial to cinema. We hear a great deal in Britain about the British film industry, and sometimes it's all fabulous and other times it's doomed. We're not going to get anywhere at all. But that balance of actually having a national identity, whether you're talking about documentary making, whether you're talking about people using it for political reasons, it's a really crucial aspect. And again, from what you've said, it seems that certainly in terms of Latin America and Peru in particular, that's been used quite a great deal to great effect, really.
Yeah, the thing that I was particularly looking at was the way in which cinema had been used to tell stories about the particular violence that was going on at the time. So there was a terrorist group that was wreaking havoc all over the country. And although it was quite dangerous or controversial to be exploring these ideas even on film, because some of them were sort of going against the political sort of standpoint, still cinema was being used to sort of just try and get people to sort of think in different ways about it. So that was interesting, because it's completely different from what was going on in the press or on the radio. Cinema, I think partly because it was so badly funded, was kind of going, oh, we'll do something a bit different. So that was particularly interesting.
And cinema as opposed to radio, audio medium, which is cheaper in certain ways, or is it just a case of, no, we want that visual image to impress?
Yeah, I think partly because radio and TV, the sort of more broadcast arenas in Peru, and I guess in other countries, but particularly in Peru, were perhaps a bit more controlled by the government, by the state. So, as I say, because cinema was sort of being a bit left alone, a bit neglected, but left alone, less interference there. So, yeah, more freedom in a way.
And I had a little flashback when I saw 50 key US films. You have Bonnie and Clyde and Mildred Pierce, because Mildred Pierce was one of the movies I was first introduced to when I was doing my own postgraduate MA at the University of London, with the joys of Philip Drummond and Bob Ferguson and company. And they were looking at Mildred Pierce very much at the heart of, well, Pam Cook's cinema book in many ways, where we talk about melodrama and really the first cinematic melodrama. Joy, Mildred Pierce?
No.
An English postgraduate student, clearly. It's one of the finest hours of Ms. Crawford, I would have thought, really.
It's a brilliant film, isn't it? And just such fantastic characters. I mean, that's the great thing about those films. They're melodrama, they're film noir, and they have roles for women to do dangerous things. You know, they're not just there being passive housewives. They're actually challenging. They're quite horrible characters, most of them, quite often, and certainly dangerous.
Stuff called Mildred, really. You had all sorts from the opening sequence onwards. And then, of course, Bonnie and Clyde, presumably the Faye Dunaway, Warren Beatty version.
Yes, absolutely.
Came through from that perspective. Again, an interesting take at a time where it seemed as though cinema was taking a particular path until, of course, Star Wars struck in 1977. And in many film critics' routines, the world of cinema has never haven't quite been the same since, really.
Yeah, that film, it was made in about the late 60s, I think 67, Bonnie and Clyde. And it was really at that time when I think US cinema was trying to kind of experiment a bit, responding to some experiments going on over in Europe and things like that. So you look at Bonnie and Clyde and it's doing some really interesting things with editing and with sound, but also fantastic story. And yet again, another great kind of role for a female actress, which is wonderful.
And thankfully she wasn't shot really at the end of it, obviously. It's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, another sequel ending and so on. Jolly, these are movies before your time.
Well, I've seen Bonnie and Clyde several times, actually. Ooh, yeah, right. But my husband, he teaches film studies.
He'd be shocked to know that you actually sort of mentioned that you weren't familiar with Mildred Pierce then. Absolutely shocked. Richard,
it'll probably be divorce courts, won't it?
I couldn't possibly comment.
I'm sure I've seen all sorts of strange and wonderful films because of that I wouldn't have normally seen, you know, being married to somebody who teaches film studies.
Some with subtitles as well.
I've watched a film with, I'll have you know, I watched a film with subtitles on Saturday night, Alex. I said to Richard, sometimes I'm like, oh, do we have to watch a film with subtitles? I can't be bothered to do any more reading because I've already been reading my novels, you know. But we fell into the trap. It was Tilda Swinton, I Am Love. I don't know if you've come across that. Very good. Yeah. Very good indeed.
She's great, isn't she?
She is very good. She's very powerful. Another very powerful female character.
Coming up in a few moments, we'll be speaking hopefully to Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore, of course. A combination of science fiction, writing, academic partnership and so on. Of course, the geniuses behind CaldorCity.com and a whole heap of other scenarios, currently working on the Battlestar Galactica unofficial series guide and so on. I'm interested, actually, Sarah, whereas I don't see a great deal of science fiction on your CV, I noticed that we're also co-signed up on the wonderful Blackboard to look after science fiction, film and television studies, which was nice, because I thought, that's wonderful stuff, really. So, the module doesn't start until next academic year, but I just thought I'd have a look at that, see what's happening. I thought, oh, Sarah's signed up as well. I thought, that's great.
Yeah, I'm interested in any kind of cinema. Sci-fi isn't my kind of main area, but I'm definitely interested, especially, again, because sci-fi is an area where all sorts of things are being discussed, but in a sci-fi way.
Precisely. So you can certainly give yourself a treat by François Truffaut's Fahrenheit 451. Now, there is a good movie.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by.